This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Today on AFCEA Answers, tying together the Enterprise Services Bundle. The conversation starts right now. I'm Max Cactus with AFCEA International. Welcome to AFCEA Answers. Joining us in the studio today, David DeVries, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for Information Enterprise with the Department of Defense, and Diana Gowan, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Public Sector with CenturyLink here in Washington. Welcome all. Dave, it's a pleasure to see you here in the studio today with us. I heard you present at conferences before on the subject. And one of the things that I've always wanted to ask you, after I've had a chance to read some of the some of what you've said about enterprise services and some of what you has been written about what you've said, here's a real simple question. How do you define enterprise services? I'm sure that's a question you get asked every day.
So that's a very good question. And I think it's from the perspective of the user. Mm-hmm. And for the Department of Defense, I like to classify the user as the warfighter. And so if I look at the warfighter, and as he or she is deployed, as they come back to home station, as they get given a mission on any day of the week, whether it be to go off and work on some humanitarian disaster assistance effort or some other type of mission, what's critical to them when they deploy out someplace is how do they get to the information that they need to get to have to make their mission work. Right. And so it's all about the information. What do they need for their mission on that particular day, and how do they get to it? And so a service, if I'm going to serve up this information, if I can make it ubiquitous for most of the folks, that becomes an enterprise service then. If more people can use it without having to figure out how to cobble together something, that's a good enterprise service.
Good. We're going to follow up on that in just a few moments. Diana, you've been involved for almost three decades now in contracts like Networks Universal, Networks Enterprise, on behalf of the GSA, and you've been working with other government clients over the years. In your assessment, are enterprise services a fairly mature category when it comes to industry and IT, or is it an area where you still see a lot of innovation and change taking place?
Well, I think of us as the folks that provide the plumbing, you know, so that the warfighter can get the services that they need when they need them, anywhere, anytime. And I look at some of the communications contracts that GSA has put out there as the building blocks, the Legos that provide that plumbing. And over time, we're not seeing the dramatic step function changes of the past in some of the infrastructure. It's gradually evolving, and it still is evolving. But what I see as the big opportunity for all of us is how do you build the solutions from those Legos, so to speak, that are there so that the warfighter, in the case of the Department of Defense, gets what they need when they need it. And that is continues to be a challenge, and it continues to have great opportunities for innovation.
Now, obviously, one of the things, one of the major considerations when it comes to IT these days is security. And when you're talking about enterprise services, security always pops up at the as one of the major questions that gets asked. Are the tools in place to operate an enterprise services infrastructure securely? Are all the tools there, or do we still have some work that needs to be done?
So I think that's a continuing evolving technology and a capability as well as a requirement. In that, I mean, just as Diana just talked about, the plumbing is there, but we're worried from a provider sense of what information is on that plumbing. Is there somebody that can break into that plumbing and steal something from us? So we worry about that, whether it be from a private sector or from a public sector. Two, I don't want everybody to go about figuring out what their own security is. So from an enterprise security and from an enterprise construct, I want to define what that is, set it up, and so that everybody can use the same metrics for it, if you will, the same standards. And I know who is providing that, and I know what is being looked at both inside and outside. Mm-hmm. And then I can start to track anomalies in that and know, did the pipe just break? Is there something flowing out that should be flowing out? Or is there stuff flowing in that I don't want flowing in?
Right. Diana, before we go to the break, security, what, you know, Dave just outlined what security in an enterprise services environment means. What kind of challenges does that create for you and your colleagues in industry?
Well, I think that the tools are there to, even though, and I should back up a little bit, the threat is ever evolving, and so are the tools. But I think given the threat that we can identify today, most of the tools are there or we're working on them. However, in the past, we have infrastructure that's there. The plumbing is there. So we're bolting stuff on. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the big challenge for all of us. When we have the opportunity to build from the beginning, then the challenge is a bit different. And I'll give you an example with the Defense Research and Engineering Network, which we're a part of today, mm-hmm. where we are building from the scratch. The real challenge for us is the network management infrastructure and making sure that is secure. And it has been a world of discovery because we also, with the military and the rest of the federal government, have the IPv6 challenge to boot. So those are some things that we've been experiencing. And then we're also involved with Department of Homeland Security on the Internet Protection Security Services that came out of the, actually, the Block 3 programs, and then ECS, which came out of the DIB programs. And both of those give even more security layers for our customers.
We'll hold that thought. We'll follow up on that shortly. Still to come, fitting enterprise services into the joint information environment. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, got a potential hacker intrusion over here, dealing with a network virus down here. And what about this email encryption failure?
The answer to your agency's security challenges, CenturyLink Government. 24/7 protection to keep your essential data from falling into the wrong hands. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
AFSEA is your source for cybersecurity. The upcoming TechNet Augusta event, September 10th through 12th, will focus on Army Ground Forces modernizing for Network 2020. The Biometric Consortium Conference and Exposition, September 17th through 19th, addresses the important role that biometrics plays in identification and verification of individuals for government and commercial applications worldwide. Signal Magazine's August issue examines C4ISR, with articles on mobile networking technology and battle command systems. AFSEA also offers cybersecurity professional development courses, including social media management and cybersecurity intelligence. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with AFSEA's education preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training. Learn more about these opportunities at AFSEA.org, keyword cyber. That's AFSEA.org, keyword cyber.
And we're back on AFSEA Answers here on Federal News Radio. Our guest today, David DeVries, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for Information Enterprise with the Department of Defense, and Diana Gowan, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Public Sector with CenturyLink here in Washington. Now, Dave and Diana, I told you before we started recording the show today that some of my impressions of enterprise services are colored by having gone to Fort Meade last Friday and the industry day that that DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, holds to brief industry on what they're going to be looking for and what are the business opportunities in the next year. Dave, I want to get your impressions on how enterprise services folds into the joint information environment. This is the new initiative started by your boss, Terry Takei, in regarding all the different ways to try to tie together all of the disparate pieces of enterprise services. How does enterprise services it's currently defined fold into the JIE?
So let's go back and define what the joint information environment is really about. It is tying together the user within DoD. So as mm-hmm. I said before, the warfighter or anybody that's within inside DoD and their ability to exchange information safely and securely with their mission partners. And mm-hmm. the mission partners could be the person sitting next to them in the office, or it could be around the world, or it could be our non-governmental organizations, our state and local governments there, as we do our missions here. And it's to exchange that information safely and securely. So mm-hmm. it is about, how do I get access to that information? Where the enterprise services comes into play is that that is an underpinning of that, and it's about the data or the information. So I want to have an email system where I know where the person is and how to get to them. It's not something new, but in the past, we kind of bought technology mm-hmm. and put it into the field as it came about. Now we're really about, how do I take this capability, this technology, and use it to enhance the business operation? In the case of Department of Defense, that's the warfighting end of it, mm-hmm. to provide that information to that warfighter wherever he or she goes.
Right. And even right out to the end of the network or the edge of the network, as we often hear, right to the place where a soldier is standing out in the field and waiting for information to come to his, to wherever he is.
Absolutely. Because we are no longer really providing capabilities that are uniquely suited to just the military. Mm-hmm. It's really commercial technology that's been adapted and adopted. And maybe hardened to some degree so that it can withstand wind and rain and snow and turbulent times. But it is providing that capability. It's the commercial thing, and we're putting the standards to it. Mm-hmm. We're also working closely with our industry partners to make sure that we put the right security into it, the right safeguards into it, whether so that you can protect the data as it flows through there.
Right. Diana, based on what Dave just said, has the JIE offered very many business opportunities for the industry when it comes to enterprise services as we've defined it here for purposes of our discussion?
Oh, I think absolutely. There are great opportunities in cloud and data storage and data analytics to go along with that, because if you think about communications to the tip of the spear and the information that has to be gathered from everywhere so that the warfighter has the data that they need when they need it. The amount of data that is gathered, I think I read something about a new UAV that the one sensor can download a petabyte of data a day. So the data storage requirements are incredible, and so are the bandwidth requirements as well. So there are just huge opportunities for industry. But I also see a part of joint information, the joint information environment, is sort of a consolidation of things too, because that's what joint and being purple is all about. We're not going to have separate military departments that have their own approach to things. And, you know, DISA, for example, has had a lot of naysayers say they were never going to figure out how to do enterprise email. But I think they have sort of figured it out. So
they have a lot of people who are saying that, yeah, they were able to pull it off in a lot of ways.
And I would tell you on that front, these enterprise services, that it's really a team effort. Mm-hmm. DISA is the lead implementer for it. But the services have played heavily into it in terms of the standards, and industry has in terms of how do you connote your commercial products and how do you put those things together there. And industry is changing them as they see the need to incorporate them into a much larger scale mm-hmm. implementation there. Every industry has to do the same thing.
Right. And when you say scale, it always reminds me of a conversation I had with Halvorsen, where he reminded us that the Navy was as big or bigger than, you know, the third largest corporation in America. So scale is always important.
Interesting. Well, we're going to explore scale in on another angle in just a few moments. Still to come is cloud computing, part of that healthy enterprise service environment. You're listening to FCA Answers on Federal News Radio.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government.
Okay, got a potential hacker intrusion over here, dealing with a network virus down here. And what about this email encryption failure?
The answer to your agency's security challenges, CenturyLink Government. 24/7 protection to keep your essential data from falling into the wrong hands. CenturyLink. Solutions that work. Service you can count on.
For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
AFCEA is your source for cybersecurity. The upcoming TechNet Augusta event, September 10th through 12th, will focus on Army Ground Forces modernizing for Network 2020. The Biometric Consortium Conference and Exposition, September 17th through 19th, addresses the important role that biometrics plays in identification and verification of individuals for government and commercial applications worldwide. Signal Magazine's August issue examines C4ISR, with articles on mobile networking technology and battle command systems. AFCEA also offers cybersecurity professional development courses, including social media management and cybersecurity intelligence. Members enjoy significant discounts and benefits with AFCEA's education preferred providers, including Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute's Step Forward training. Learn more about these opportunities at AFCEA.org, keyword cyber. That's AFCEA.org, keyword cyber.
Welcome back to AFCEA Answers here on Federal News Radio. Our guest today, David DeVries, the Deputy Chief Information Officer for Information Enterprise with the Department of Defense, and Diana Gowan, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Public Sector with CenturyLink here in Washington, D.C. Now, we're going to talk a little bit among ourselves here. We were talking during the break, and one thing that I was thinking about was innovation and how this whole new paradigm of the joint information enterprise handles innovation, handles competition. And Dave, you had some interesting thoughts about that. Let me go ahead and start with you.
So the big word out there now is the joint information environment is really about moving toward more enterprise level things. Mm-hmm. But just because I start to consolidate and I reduce my number of data centers out there, and I may reduce my number of databases where my information is stored at, I'm going to rely more and more upon the technology and the innovation as it's being fielded out there to help me to achieve the economies of scale. So, for example, as I go more into the cloud computing, how do I take my disparate databases, make them cloud consumable, and bring them into the cloud where then that data can be used for other purposes other than just the stovepipe purpose that it was intended for when it was first collected? Industry is trying to do this across the board. We need to take that same thing into the government and into the Department of Defense there and use it to get a better working system here for us.
Mm-hmm. Diana, are you and your colleagues in industry ready for this? I mean, this is a change. This is a different way of doing business. And if the crowds that I saw at Fort Meade last Friday were any indication, there are a lot of people who want to be able to take advantage of this business development opportunity and do business with the Department of Defense in this new way.
Of course, it's a huge business development opportunity for us. It is a huge challenge, too. And I think the innovation really revolves around how we're able to help you deal with big data and really do business analytics on it. And I would say that's pretty much a very burgeoning field right now. Mm-hmm. So there is room for huge innovation. And it is also made up of much smaller companies. And the big companies, like myself and many others, will have to figure out how to use those smaller innovators to help us do that analysis.
Mm-hmm. And another factor that comes to mind is something that General Ronnie Hawkins, who was basically in your seat right there about a few weeks ago, Dave, something that he said during the industry day out at Fort Meade, and that is, when it comes to certain kinds of initiatives, they're not going to look at 5 or 6 year deployments where they're trying to design it right the first time, but instead looking at things in sprints and moving, you know, getting one part of it done and then getting the next part of it done and moving in sprints as opposed to a marathon.
Absolutely, and that's our big challenge, I think, for our industry partners. And for us inside DOD, how do I, inside DOD, state my requirements so that it can be rolled out in increments? How do I state it such that it is understood within our budgeting process and I can figure out what my cost is going to be over an increment and approach it with Congress, who gives us our congressional funding on these things? And it's not the standard typical program that we used to do in the past. In fact, many of the things, and this is where the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics is looking at this thing now, is how do I go about and do acquisition of services and IT services, to be exactly. That's a tough nut to crack, but we're working on that, and that's going to help define the size and scope and scale of things.
Mm-hmm. Diana, when it comes to the business side and the industry side, how would you like to see acquisition change to accommodate this fast and small motif of developing IT, because you're talking about things that are in bite-sized packages instead of trying to consume a whole meal at one time. How does that change the picture when it comes to acquisition?
Well, I think our acquisition professionals have a huge challenge there. Mm-hmm. But as far as the business unit, you know, I welcome that because it is for sure a cheaper process for us. Doing these omnibus 10-year huge contracts and programs, it takes an incredible amount of bid and proposal to just go chase the thing. And then once you win it, there is always the startup period where the requirements were not exactly defined correctly, and so you're trying to figure it out and hope to goodness sakes that you're not going to be in trouble with whoever was the contracting agency. So I think bite-sized pieces are the key, but how do we go about doing it is still a challenge. And I think it may take some really good, tough business government partnership to figure it out. And frankly, I think that's where AFSEA could really be a help, is maybe be the broker for some of these kinds of discussions, because they are going to be tough discussions between the acquisition teams and the business teams that are going to provide services.
Well, and that's why we have this radio program today. I want to, on that note, thank our guests, David DeVries, the Deputy Chief Information Officer with the Department of Defense, and Diana Gowan, the Senior Vice President and General Manager with CenturyLink here in Washington, D.C. Our special thanks to the AFSEA Technology Committee for production help with today's show. Got a question about what we've discussed today? Got an answer. The conversation continues on our blog at federalnewsradio.com. Search AFSEA, that's AFCEA. That's where you can also download this program and our previous shows for listening on your schedule. This program is a production of AFSEA International, which is solely responsible for its content, on the web at afsea.org. I'm Max Kakis. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for AFSEA Answers on Federal News Radio.